Amen. Praise the Lord. All that long preaching from my wife, or I'm sorry, sharing. Amen. I hope she got some of that out of her system. It'll give me a break. Amen. You know what she practices on? Amen. I hope it was a blessing. I trust that it was and confident that it was. Amen. This is a great responsibility and it's a great privilege and honor. And we'll be the first to admit, both of us, that if you got anything out of this, it was the Lord. And like I said last night, it's because you wanted something. And we don't think we're experts on anything except making a mess. Amen. That's what we're all good at. Man, at its best state, it's altogether vanity, let alone how we normally are in our normal state. But God's perfect, and His way's perfect, and His book's right. And if we'll head toward Him, He'll do more than meet us halfway. And He's met us more than halfway and so far. And my prayer is that this will be a good way to finish. It's a blessing. I just want to say thank you already for the kindness and encouraging comments and just a chance to get to know some of you a little bit better. And I appreciate that. And amen. Marriage has been the subject, and I just want to say a couple things before I go to the message. And marriage is made up of, number one, high expectations. High expectations. I would say probably every bride and groom in her marriage, absolutely positive. And we're talking about Christians now. Absolutely positive that their marriage is going to be a union made in heaven. And sometimes they do that in spite of good counsel or good sense. And sometimes a man and woman get infatuated with each other and head down this path to marriage, quicker than they should, even in spite of whether or not they should or not, because they just have high expectations. And, amen, it ought to be that way, and you ought to start with high expectations. But for a Christian, there ought to be a dose of reality thrown in there, because this is real. This is not a phase, it's not a fad, it's not a rite of manhood or womanhood or adulthood. It's serious business to God. And I think that one of the problems with marriage comes with the high expectations are countered, not balanced by any means, but countered by low preparation. And I say that, let me illustrate like this. To get a driver's license, and I'm positive about New York, but I'm sure, you know, you probably wouldn't get a license at 16, can you? What's the bottom? How old? 17. Do you have to have driver's ed? Driver's ed. To drive a car, the state wants you to have driver's ed. If you got any sense at all, you're going to do some practice, and amen, a lot of practice. You're going to study the book, and then you got to take a test, and then you can fail and have to take the test again. You got to do all that to get a driver's license. To get a hunting license, in a lot of states where I go, you got to take a hunter safety course. A dear friend of mine got two teenage boys in Ohio right now involved in hunter safety course, and he is telling me that they're going to finish like on Wednesday night, and they had to take a test, and there's a 200-question test for a 14-year-old on hunter and gun safety to get a hunt license. And I got no problem with that. I'm all for that. A loaded gun's a pretty dangerous thing. I think you ought to have a course. And then a lot of states where I go, and I know it's not this way in at least this part of New York, in the city, but a lot of states have made it a lot easier in the last 20 years to get a concealed carry permit. And a lot of folks in a lot of states that I go to church, a church this size, in a lot of states I go to, there might be 5 or 6 or even more handguns under the coat, concealed, legal. Amen. But before you can get a concealed carry permit, you have to take a course. To get a driver's license, you got to take a test. You got to take a to get a hunting license. You know, if you're underage, you got to take a course. You got to take a test to get a concealed carry permit. But you don't need nothing to get a marriage license. All you got to do is walk in there and with a big smile on your face and pay somebody some money and enter into the most important institution, an institution that's a perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ relationship. With a church, people can get it on a whim. This world's got some things out of balance, doesn't it? If as much attention planning and money was spent on the first year of most marriages as is spent on the first day, a lot of marriages would have a lot better chance of survival. I've had a son and two daughters married now, and man, I watch them go into this mentality as that marriage thing approaches, and I'm thinking, you know, is anybody thinking about like day two, the next year? Everything focused on that day. I've watched mothers get caught up in that. Oh, but it's my daughter's special day, and they just disregard a lot of things that maybe as a man I don't look at it the same way, but, you know, come on. Common sense ought to be part of it. I'll tell you this, if as much attention was spent on the marriage as the wedding, amen, there'd be a lot less, say, young women crying in the pastor's office months later, having sacrificed their virtue, is telling the pastor, I should have, how could I have been so stupid? If as much attention was put to this thing about marriage as God gives it, there'd be less young men sitting in the pastor's office in the first year saying things like, she's nothing like I thought she'd be. See what he's saying? Marriage is serious business to God. And we might live in a society that has a Walmart mentality. You know, that looks interesting. Let's give it a try. If you don't like it, you can always save your receipt. Take it. People get married in America like that. Save the receipt. If you don't like it, you can take it back. And a lot of people are doing it that way these days. But that being what it is, we're talking about Christianity. We're talking about biblical marriage. We're talking about trying to do it God's way. So we don't want to do it the way the world does it, right? So you're already married. You've already entered. Amen. I hope, regardless of your expectation or lack of preparation, I'll tell you what can make it work is getting God in on it. And doing it God's way. And in every audience this big, you got people at every end of the spectrum, from beginners, amen, to folks been at a long time, folks have been through some rough stuff, and folks that are involved in some rough stuff. And Jesus Christ is still the answer. All right? Now, go to your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read you a couple of verses, and then you're going to get. We're going to get there. We're talking about marriage this week, these days. And marriage is important. It was said like this, you know, well, let me read a verse. I'll read one. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, and you're turning to Ephesians 5, and you're probably already confused, and it's my fault. But just go ahead and turn there, and I'll read you a couple verses from other places. Genesis 2:24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now listen, I'm not a rocket scientist, I'm not an engineer, I'm not a real smart guy, I don't have any college degrees hanging on the wall, but I know this. One plus one doesn't equal one. Amen, I know you're astounded. Praise the Lord. Amen. And if two shall be one, you see, two shall be one, that means neither one was complete in the first place. Well, half, one half, and one half equals one. I know, some of you are shocked, amen? I know you think my wife, she's the principal of the homeschool, amen? But I even knew that, amen? And so, man, you're not complete till you're married. Ladies, you're not complete till you're married. Two shall be one. I want to preach to you. I want to give you this message. Two shall be one. But I want to say this to you, men. Amen. I've addressed you already. I want to address you one more time. It's been said, man is not complete till he's finished. Then he's finished. No. Oh, man, sorry. Man is not complete till he's married. Then he's finished. All right, I'm getting out of the joke business. All right. Since that went over some of your heads, I'll say it again. You don't even know I messed it up. Man is not complete till he's married, then he's finished. Amen. Okay, good. Yeah, that humor me. Man. One more. No. Matthew 19, the Bible says this, verse 5, and says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder.
Listen, if God wants your marriage to end, He can end it. Real easy. All you have to do is flip a switch, man, and one of you stop. That's what it means. Amen.
Now, it says this in Mark 10, and they twain shall be one flesh, so then they are no more twain, but one flesh. Amen. Ephesians 5 and verse 31, and men, we looked at this today, for this cause shall a man, what cause? Marriage. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. One flesh comes up six times in your Bible, and I just give you five examples, five out of six times, it refers to the marriage relationship. Now I just want to say this, if God said it, and He did in Genesis, and two gospel authors recorded the Lord Jesus Christ saying it, and they did, Matthew and Mark, and the Apostle Paul said it in Ephesians chapter 5, it might be significant, don't you think? It's safe to say that from these examples, there's more much more to the twain, the two shall be one flesh, than just a physical union of a man and a woman. People engage in that all the time without being married or without having any intention of being married or having any comprehension of how serious God takes marriage. They shouldn't. They shouldn't, but they do. And amen. The Bible says marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Just for the record, pornography opens up the door to adultery. Amen. Pornography, which is rampant in our age, it opens the door to sex outside of marriage, and that's a sin, okay? And the Bible says, teaches very clearly that any kind of physical relationship outside of a man and a woman in marriage is not just sin, it's an abomination. It's an abomination. Well, but the world doesn't think that way. Well, we're not interested in that today. We're talking about marriage. Okay? We're talking about marriage. Now, it says this, the two shall be one flesh. And it's just the truth of the matter in the age in which we live, and it seems that it also applies to Christians, that so many enter into this thing called marriage that God takes so seriously, without any commitment to stay in marriage very long after, number one, the thrill is gone. After the novelty has worn off, many don't stay faithful or committed because somebody new comes along. It's amazing to me that adulterers and adulteresses trust each other when they're both cheating on their spouse. I see it happen all the time. People, this guy leaves his wife, and this woman leaves her husband, and then they're in love, and they think that's going to work? What kind of foundation is that? They're both liars and adulterers. But it happens all the time. Listen, before you get going in this thing, you need to understand this, in God's eyes, this is final. I'm not. If you've had bad past problems, history's history. But we're talking about from now on. It's serious. You hear me? Two shall be one flesh is serious. Amen? Problems come, and people say, well, I don't want to be married anymore. Listen, problems are going to come whether you're married or not. But if you'll handle them God's way, God will get the glory for it. And that's what we're supposed to be trying to do. They weren't who I thought they'd be. Why did you think they were perfect? If they were, why would they have married you? Yeah, they're not everything I thought they'd be. Look in the mirror. I mean, is there an outside chance you might not have been everything that you represented yourself to be in that? During that period when, you know, we just overlooked every negative little thing, or God forbid people think, well, I'll change them later. Probably not. Probably not. Amen? God puts up with us and we're not perfect. Amen? All right. So, let's pray, and then I'm going to give you the verse that God gave me to spring off of, and we'll wrap this up. Some of you are looking at me like you're done two sessions ago, and I'll try. I'm not going to hurry too much, but I just want to do what God wants, nothing else. Father, please meet with us again. May the things that have been said be taken to heart in spite of the method in which they were said. I'm not apologizing for my wife, not really apologizing for me, but Lord, I'm not up to this task, but God, we sure do need you in our lives and our marriages, and I pray that you'd just take what's already been said and what's about to be said, and may it be a help and blessing to these very, very precious, very kind people that have given me their undivided attention. I pray you bless them richly for their desire to come, and we don't take that for granted, and I just really thank you for their kindness, and pray and ask you to bless them for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
I've learned this, and I mentioned this last night. I've learned that there's a lot of things in the Word of God that are applicable to marriage more than just the standard verses. And we've gone over some of the standard verses today in Ephesians 5 and 1 Peter 3 and things like that. But there's plenty of things, principles, that successfully pertain or are appropriate for our subject. And for example, I gave you one of them last night in Philippians chapter 2. You can go ahead and turn there again. Philippians chapter 2. And last night, we gave you a message out of a chapter, verse 3 that said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And I'm not going to re-preach that. That was given for the church. It was given to help Christians get along. And again, it jumped off the page of me that if we could get a hold of that, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Amen. If we could, in lowliness of mind, and get off our own high horse, and get me off the throne, and get the Lord back on it, in lowliness of mind, you know, consider, you know, there might be another viewpoint or another way of looking at it. There might be a misunderstanding, but that pride, man, that, boy, if we could just do that. But what I want to preach to you today is out of verse 2. Verse 2, and it's right here in Philippians, and that was verse 3 last night, but verse 2, Paul says this, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. How much more could that seem to apply to marriage? The things that are mentioned in that verse, don't they sound appropriate? Don't they sound relevant? Don't they sound like maybe a formula or some ingredients that might contribute to a happy marriage? Amen? Don't they? Somebody nod their head. I'll know you're awake. Somebody had too many sandwiches. Amen. And you're sleepy. Amen. Wake up. Wake up. Amen. I ought to do like my wife. Everybody move forward. Amen. But don't worry. I can make myself be heard. Amen. I'm going to be able to see if your eyes are open or not. But that's between you and the Lord anyway. He says, fulfill ye my joy. Now, Paul says here that it indicates that he had joy when his converts did right. Fulfill ye my joy, and then, you know, do these things. You're like-minded, same love, one accord, one mind. And there's joy involved in that. This world seeks after happiness and knows little about joy. I'll tell you what, happiness comes and goes. Joy doesn't. Joy doesn't. We can have joy in the roughest of situations. That's not just rhetoric. That's not just good preaching. I've been around long enough, I've seen people do it. I watched my wife wait hand and foot on a husband that died of Lou Gehrig's disease, and there were many unhappy days, but the joy of the Lord was still her strength. And you probably know some folks too, been through some rough stuff, but joy is something to covet. Amen. To want. And the Bible says in 3 John, verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Amen. And John's talking to his about his spiritual children, and if you're saved here today, you're a child of God, and the truth of the matter is, God's got no greater joy than to hear that you walk in truth. Amen. Now let me put it to you like this. Aren't you glad when your children walk in truth? Now, a lot of parents in here, and I'm a parent, and I do, and I know this too. There's no greater sorrow than to hear that your children don't. And I've experienced both sides of that too. Amen. But joy is a thing to have and to want and to long for. And Paul says, fulfill ye my joy. And I just tell you, joyful marriage is better than the other kind. And there's some things you can do to have it. He says, fulfill ye my joy. And then he gives you a little list here. And I'm going to take this little list and try to give you something. I hope it'll help you. And I hope it'll bear witness. The Spirit of God will bear witness to it. It says, first of all, like-minded. Like-minded. Now, he's talking to church, and that's what makes a church work, is people that are like-minded. There won't be all the strife and vainglory if people are like-minded. And how much more, let me say it again, wouldn't it benefit a marriage if the husband and the wife were like-minded? Certainly when you got married, you thought you were like-minded about something. Amen? But tell you what, because of the Spirit of God and your desire to please God and go by the book, you ought to be able to maintain some of that even as you grow and even develop different interests in some ways. like-minded is invaluable. It says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Now, it's important, and the context there is just what it says. Righteousness with unrighteousness, believers with unbelievers, and it's important to be for marriage to work. It's important for you to be like-minded as the basic beliefs. Amen. Now, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, that any man should boast. You're asking for trouble if you marry somebody who doesn't believe that. It'd be good to have to be on the same page as far as that. I'll tell you the danger of marrying somebody that believes you're saved by works or some other way. It's going to create an unbelievable amount of confusion in your children. Amen. So for this thing to work, to eliminate and alleviate the strife and the contention and the questions that would come from marrying somebody, to be unequally yoked, to marry somebody of a different faith, amen, to alleviate that, he says, be not unequally yoked, like-minded, would be a good thing. But not just in salvation, but in sound doctrine. Amen. The Bible is, King James Bible is the Word of God. I'll tell you what it is. The foundation is the fundamental truth of our faith. And it's important to understand that and believe that and know that. And it's important to have a grasp on the sound doctrine of the Bible. First of all, this internal security. Amen. What a confidence you can have. What a liberty you have in Jesus Christ by knowing you can't mess your salvation up. How do you know? Because every dispensation in the Bible where you could, people did. You and me got in on this thing by grace where we can't blow it because everybody else blew it. And I'm glad of that. Amen. And but I'll tell you what, I'm glad me and my wife both realized that. I'm glad we're on the same page there. It's important to be like-minded. But I've seen folks that were like-minded, folks out of the same church, folks that believe the same books, folks that believe the same salvation right and doctrine, the same. I've seen folks that were like-minded in these very important areas still let little things rob them of their joy and sometimes destroy their marriage. Divorces are granted these days in the courts of our country on the grounds of incompatibility. Incompatibility. That's not biblical grounds. Amen? We are supposed to work on it. We're supposed to try to work it out. Amen? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Incompatibility is not an excuse for bad behavior in Christians. It's not. It's not with the Holy Spirit inside of you, amen. With the inerrant Word of God in front of you, telling you how to deal with things, incompatibilities. That book says if you're saved, you can do all things through Christ. Boy, when that's easy, it's easy. Where the rubber meets the roads when it's not easy, but it's still true. Tell you what. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded. Man, it's, I tell you what, you started out like-minded. Now you need to find out what caused the fork in the road and maybe go back and make some adjustments. I mean, if you got any desire at all to be pleasing to God today. Strife and vainglory comes from coming to the place where the only person you're concerned with pleasing is yourself. Amen. You know what's got the devil in trouble? It's okay that it's quiet. This ain't an amen message. But I'm trying to provoke you to think. I mean, you got a hold of something bigger than you realize. But the parameters to make it work in a way that is a good example to our children, to a lost and dying world, and to bring glory and pleasure to Lord Jesus Christ. The ingredients are there. And our problem isn't that his methods fail. Our problem is that we fail. Because we going to do it our way. Amen, amen, amen. It says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. And then it says, having the same love. The same love. Well, you need to be on the same page there. Bible says in Proverbs 11 and verse 1, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight his delight. And one of the biggest problems in any Christian area, in any area of our Christian life, is to maintain the proper balance. Is there something that pastors address all the time, and it, truth be known, you have to address in your own life, is not to go too far one direction or the other, to maintain the balance. And traveling around the country, we see people, man, and they're adamant about this particular little thing, and then, man, it's like they're clueless about something over here. And we'll go someplace else, and it's the opposite way. And what do we learn, man? You know, there's the things that are important, and then there's the things that are not as important, and we need to be able to discern what's what and focus on a thing. Somebody said it like this one time. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And we get off, man, on all kinds of things. But for a marriage, amen, we should be like-minded and have the same love. Amen. If anybody hasn't figured this out yet, I've said it every message. Men and women are different. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, let's try it. Men, women are different. Say amen, men. Amen. Ladies, women are, men are different. I'll get it right. Men are different. Amen. Say amen, ladies. Men are different. Amen. I heard you. I heard my wife over everybody else in here. How come that is? Amen. Amen. But listen, that's not an excuse not to maintain the right balance or have the same love. The fact that men and women are different, it just means that effort. I mean, I hate to say it and spoil the conference, but I hate to use the W word, you know, but it might mean work is involved. Amen? We want everything easy. We want a Christian life to be easy. Jesus died on the cross, and whoopee, you know, now it's a cakewalk. That ain't true, is it? Well, we get married, and there's some effort involved in your Christian life, isn't there? Not in salvation. Well, so it is in your marriage. It might require some effort. Amen? I guarantee it will. Let me give you some examples of some effort that might need to be made. Some of these are, I'm a man, so I'm looking at it from the man's viewpoint. I didn't get in touch with no feminine side of nobody for this. You got my wife for 2 hours, or 2.5 maybe, I'm not sure. Pretty long, though. Pretty long. We were downstairs, drank 3 pots of coffee while you guys were, you know, chatting. But listen, women need this. Women need this. They need words of affirmation and confirmation. In other words, I told you I loved you that day we got married is just not enough for them. You don't love me. Yeah, remember? I got it written down somewhere. Our anniversary. I told you that's not how it is with them. They like to hear it more often than that. Better to love you, honey, at bedtime, smooch on it. You know what? That men, we could get away with that, you know, for a while. But women aren't that. I'm correcting myself. I'm doing better. Aren't that way. And not only that, they love compliments. If my wife showed me in the Bible the other day that in the Song of Solomon, the groom said, I love you, and told her she is beautiful 11 times in one day. I'm not done studying that out yet because she has a tendency to exaggerate. Amen. But really not about the Bible. She's pretty sharp. Amen. I wish she'd proofread this message before I got up here. Amen. But women need that stuff. Duh. And let me tell you something else too, ladies.
It'd be a blessing every once in a while for your husband to know you appreciate him.
We don't need compliments every day. Not even close. But I'll tell you what men do need. Well, when the cares of this life and the stuff that goes on and the temptations the devil throws, every once in a while it's good for a man to know that his wife appreciates him.
I said to the men today, listen, don't take your wife for granted. Don't let her think she's not appreciated. Well, I'm saying it to you ladies too. Maybe you better get a hold of that too. A lady told my wife one time, every day I watch the kids, you know, her kids, what do you think? Every day I watch the kids, my husband's at work, like what? Like what does that mean? What do you think, he's selling popcorn? He's working. He's working, physical labor all day long. And the woman said to my wife, and she said, I take care of these kids all day, and then I make supper, and my husband comes home and doesn't even thank me for making him supper. And she's whining about that. My wife, who you know by now, doesn't play games well with others, doesn't. She's nice, but she's a straight shooter. Can I get an amen, ladies?
Amen.
My wife looked at the person and said, do you thank him for going to work every day? I mean, why isn't it a two-way street? He doesn't thank me for, you know what? Come on. Maybe he ought to.
But maybe you need to, too.
I'll tell you something, man. The devil tries to get in, and he does get in. But we need to... words of affirmation are part of just maintaining that same love. Amen? And then women like this. Women like flowers. I mean, come on. You buy them, they die. I don't get it. Actually, I went to Hawaii last year, and I have a different opinion of flowers now. Because, man, they're beautiful. Amen. Don't be giving me no flowers. But I know this. When I buy, man, I'm talking about, I'm not going to give away any of my secrets, but when I buy my wife flowers, I bring them in. She really likes that. I mean, I personally, you know, I don't get it. Here's the $2, but no. Little things mean a lot to women. Little things like that. Amen. I tell you what, if you can put a smile on your wife's face with $10 worth of flowers, well, you're a dummy if you don't do it once in a while. Amen. 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 Hold on a second. Good preaching, Brother Spurgeon. Amen. I'll take it. I amen myself. I don't care. I'm an evangelist. I'm used to this. Amen. Amen. You know what? It isn't the things themselves. What's the deal with flowers? It isn't flowers. There's something about them realizing that you took the time to think about them. It ain't the money you spent. It's just to know you're thinking about them. That means a lot to them. Amen? And it's supposed to. And, you know, you got a woman that doesn't like the kind of stuff, you know, good. You can go to wrestling matches together. Amen. Some of you win. Amen. I don't know. But let me say, there's something here that women need, and it's to maintain the same love. And it's something money can't buy. And it's, I told it to the men, how do women spell love? T-I-M-E. And it's the truth. Women like time. They want part of our time. We want to buy them a new toaster. They want to talk. We got so many toasters till I figured out, oh, she doesn't want anything. She just wants to talk to me. My marriage got sweeter when I started to learn to listen to my wife. Amen. So that's how you were talking to everybody. I'll get around to it. You need quality time with your kids. You need quality time with the Lord. You need quality time with your spouse. I heard a guy say one time, you know, you need to, in a 7-day period, I mean between Sunday morning and Sunday morning you go to church, you need to find 30 minutes to get alone with your wife. And I'm not talking about get alone in the bedroom. I'm talking about get alone with, go for a walk, go to a park, get somewhere and just talk. And you'd be amazed. You'd be amazed at the friendship that could develop out of a marriage. My wife is my best friend.
Amen.
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 And that took God. Because I'm like you. I'm selfish. And But I want to do right by the Lord. And you know what? That desire, He blessed me. He's blessed me with a wife. And I need to talk to her. And I learn things when I talk to her. And I don't just talk to her. I listen to her. And you want to maintain? You want a marriage? You want a healthy marriage? You better learn to talk to each other. You better learn to listen to each other. And you better learn to make an exception in that busy, busy time you got that involves reading the paper and cruising the internet, watching a stinking glass toilet television. Yeah, I need to get that in somewhere. And talk to your wife. Talk to your husband. Talking. It's not like this! And that's the only way some people communicate. Yelling. Screaming. That ain't communicating. Quality time. Same love. And I mentioned this to the men. Ladies, I'm trying to get this through to the men. I'm going to say it again just to prove to you that I'm on your side because my wife threatened me if I didn't say something about this. Women like touching. Amen. Now, personally, I know you probably didn't figure this out on your own. I'm not really a touchy-feely kind of person. Amen. Have you been upside of many police cars as I have? Frisk, you wouldn't want people putting their hands on you either. But women like things like, you know, holding hands.
Amen. That's cool. There's nothing wrong with that. We just don't think that way. It's time to start. They like hugs. Amen. Amen. This is cracking me up. One time I pulled into a Walmart and I don't know why they got my attention, but a couple got out of their car not far from mine and you know, the woman's talking and the guy's walking around like this behind her, and she got about 10 feet ahead and she was still talking and he's like not paying attention, and she goes in the store and he goes in the store and she's about 10 feet behind, and then however it worked out, we ended up leaving the store at the same time and she's still ahead. And he's still dragging behind. And I thought this was real curious, because she just walked out the door and she started heading across the parking lot this way, and I knew they was parked over there because they were parked by me. And I'm going, wonder where they're going. And I'm heading to my car, and she gets about five cars out. Where is that car? And the husband's standing there going, he's pointing over there. And why didn't he tell her before they got out? Maybe if they'd have been walking together, maybe if they'd have been holding hands, maybe if they'd have been talking, maybe they'd have been heading the right direction together. That's what we do, man. We're married. I love you. You know, at least on Valentine's Day or something. And then, yeah, and then we're just going through life like ships in a night. Amen. I said amen. I got to have amen once in a while. I'm not the shallowest preacher that's ever been here. Maybe not. But every once in a while, I need a little encouragement. Again, these things that I've listed, to some they mean more than they do to others. But you know what your obligation as a spouse is? Is to find out which ones apply to you, which ones are appropriate to you, and pursue them. I know it's going to take effort. It's going to interrupt your busy schedule. But if you didn't have time for your spouse, why'd you get one? What is this thing about? What'd you enter into? Did you, like, pay attention at all? Or did you get your marriage mentality off a game show? That's what I'm thinking. Some people just... Listen, the Bible says the devil's the god of this world. And if you let that television and Hollywood and MTV and all this other stuff educate you, you're getting schooled by the wrong crowd, friend.
That's right.
All right. Now, here's where I say I'm almost done, and you know me long enough to know that doesn't mean anything. Philippians 2, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love. It says being of one accord, of one mind. You know, I see that. And one flesh, see? It said one flesh. And now it says one accord, one mind. Let's skip one accord. I'm going to say that for last. Let's look at this thing, just one mind. Not only like-minded as far as a salvation and doctrine and things like that. But it's very important to be of one mind concerning biblical order of the home. And I'm not talking about the husband's ahead of the wife and the wife's in subject to the husband and the children, etc. I'm not talking about that. That ain't even close to the most important thing. Biblical order of the home is this: in all thy ways acknowledge him. Proverbs 3 and chapter 3 and verse 5. And he shall direct that path. The biblical order of the home you need to be on one mind concerning is that Jesus Christ is the head. Now that's the secret right there of not just a happy marriage, but a marriage that makes it. It's Jesus Christ. And you need to be on the same. You get joined now. Some people got married before they got saved, and then, you know, they're back and forth struggling and growing through this, and I watch plenty grow through it when a husband and wife will make up their mind, you know, they want to be pleasing to God, and then that'll overcome a lot of differences in personality and quirks and weird oddities, and I just made a word up, but amen, it'll help. But I'm going to tell you what, this one mind thing needs to be this, that he's on the throne. You need to get off the throne of your own life. Get Jesus Christ back on the throne. Amen. The one mind that better exists between you and your spouse is that you both acknowledge him in all your ways and realize that you need him to make it. I'm talking about on the good days, let alone the average days. One mind. Tell you what, this thing, that thing right there will help you get through times when personalities and selfishness create a chasm, a great gulf. Now you heard that in Luke chapter 16 when Abraham was talking to the rich man and he was asked for mercy from hell and didn't get it. He said, beside this,
Beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, and nothing could pass from one to the other. And, you know, that's a different doctrine. If you're not familiar with it, I'm not going to go into it now. But I'm going to tell you something. Selfishness and that me thing we talked about last night can come between you and your wife, and it can create or you and your husband, whichever the case may be, and it can create a great gulf. The difference between this gulf and the one in Luke 16, this one's spannable. This one can be dealt with. I want to try to illustrate it. I'm not an artist or nothing, but this is the simplest. But I saw this 15, 16 years ago in a marriage class and in Bible school, and it stuck with me. And maybe you can get some. I'm not going to erase what my wife wrote. We don't need to. I hope you can see this. But I'm going to draw. This list is going to represent God right here. It's right here. And God's a trichotomy. In other words, there's three parts of God. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You know that, right? And then the human being is a trichotomy at all. Spirit, soul, and body. You say it like this. Body, soul, and spirit. It's not how it's written in the Bible. That's just how the flesh always tried to put itself first. It says spirit, soul, and body. And I'm going to tell you something else. It's a trichotomy. Marriage is a trichotomy, and that's you and your spouse and God. It's the three. To make it work, man, it takes all three. Jesus Christ, I've seen it. Jesus Christ is the head of our home, the unseen guest at every meal. That makes for a nice plaque. It really makes for a nice fat. So the perfect marriage and everything is when everybody's in harmony and in conjunction with God, but sometimes things get, you know, God's up there, and there's a man and a wife, and they're together, and they're one, and from where you're sitting, it looks like one, and everything's focused on God. We're not equal with Him. We don't pretend that. But here's what happens when something gets between us, and when we don't apply these principles that we talked about, not just today, but in the days, we get out of fellowship with God when we get out of fellowship with each other. And sometimes it's one, and sometimes it's both, but sometimes it seems like not only is not God right there, and here we are, two, one, you know, headed facing God, learning from God, loving God. It seems like we're a long way from God, like where's God in the unhappy home? It sometimes seems like we're estranged from each other. So try to picture this, and so that God doesn't move, thank God. I mean, we count on Him. But we do, and we get out of fellowship with God sometimes, don't we? Okay, three of you do. I got news for you. The rest of you do, too. And sometimes when things come between a man and a wife, and sometimes it seems like that great gulf in Luke 16, and they're irreconcilable. The Bible uses the word reconcile a lot. And so, therefore, if you're in Christ, and you're a new creature, and the Bible says, be reconciled to God. And an amazing thing will happen if when you let something get between you and your spouse, and it gets between you and God too, because God's not into all that strife thing. But when you make an effort to get reconciled to God, in other words, stay fixed on Him. Let's do it like this. Okay, there's God. Now you're not where you should be with each other at a given time, but you still want to be right with God, and you still want to please God, and you still want to maintain your faith in God, and you still want to, amen, do right by God, and you still, I see you both still, even if you're not getting along, you maybe can't see that, I apologize if it's not good, but you may not see eye to eye here, but you still, as a child of God, need to stay right with God. It's not God's fault you're having problems. It may not even be your fault, but you don't let anything interrupt your relationship with Him. That's what the devil is trying to disrupt. You think it's all temporal. It's all horizontal. It's not horizontal at all. The devil is trying to interrupt your relationship with Him so that God can't use you to be a good testimony, bring anybody else to Christ. See, we think everything has to do with us. It doesn't have anything to do with you. It has to do with where souls are going to spend eternity. That's what God. That's why Jesus Christ went to the cross, to make a way for people not to go to hell. And we get so hung up on our little life down here, man. We don't even care. Truth be known, you don't even care where people go. Say, well, that's a terrible thing to say. That's what your life shows. Here's what you want to do. You want to keep heading toward God. Now, if this, let's say it is the wife. Well, I don't know why I'm writing it. I can't even read it from here. I know you can't. And this is the husband. We'll give him a big H. And as they get stay on track, heading toward God. Regardless of what's come between them, here's what you see. If they both, even though they're estranged at this point, if they both keep fixed on God and both start head, do you realize that they're both, it's triangle theology. They're getting closer and closer and closer to each other again. Back to being two shall be one. Things do come up between us. We're humans. We're different. It's part of it. What glory would there be for God if everything was just perfect all the time? It's going to be that way someday. He created the angels and they're fine, but He created us and He gets more glory out of us overcoming our individual problems and differences. By doing it His way, He gets more glory out of that than all these mighty angels do. Holy, holy, holy. He gets, you and I have got the capability to bring honor and glory to God, put a black eye on the devil. And God set it up that way. Our problem is you got to understand you can't do it without Him. You can't do it your way. You got to do it His way. So anyway, I hope you get that. But when we get exchanged to each other, we'll both keep heading toward God. We can work it out and come back together. And that's what God's glorified by. Now, He had to pay $100 for that board so I could do that. So I want you to get a picture of it, you know. Very important. All right, last of all. In the verse, it says this. Fulfill ye my joy, verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded. Okay? Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Okay, I skipped one accord. I want to go to that now. One accord. And here's what I'm just going to give you. This is, I like this. So, because I like it and I'm preaching, you get to hear it. Amen. I hope you like it. Accord means this, agreement. Harmony of minds. Consent or concurrence of opinions or wills. One accord means unity. And I know we're individuals, and we're supposed to be, and I know we have differences, and I know spouses have differences of opinions and ideas. In a church scenario, our ability to work together in spite of our differences glorifies God, and so it does in a marriage. Our ability to work together in spite of differences glorifies God, too. So let me close this conference with this thing right here about one accord. I got reading about that definition, and one of the definitions went like this. Concert. Harmony of sounds. The union of different sounds which is agreeable to the ear. There's a definition that goes with accord that has to do with music. Okay? Some of you musicians, don't correct me in front of everybody if I'm wrong, but this is my message here. Let me close it like this. If you could think of your marriage as a symphony or a musical arrangement where when the instruments are in tune and the musicians are dedicated, practiced, and passionate. You ever see somebody passionately? I got a daughter, man, that's passionate piano player. I've seen people play violins. It just amazes me because I got none of that, amen, in me. But have you ever seen a musician that's really just passionate about their instrument? Think of your marriage as being that way. And doesn't it, when a symphony and everything's the way it's supposed to be, when the harmony of the sounds and the union of the melody is agreeable to the ear. Beautiful. Okay, here's what I'm trying to say. I just have to wonder if the melody produced by two soloists, and that's what we all are, that's how we all start, soloists, amen, who have vowed together before God to become a duet, amen, submitted to the leadership of the greatest conductor of all times, the Lord Jesus Christ, I wonder, if that wouldn't produce a melody pleasing to the ear of God. Two soloists vowed together to become a duet, submitted to the conductor, the Lord Jesus Christ. One accord. Kind of music in the ear of God
does your marriage make? Amen? And however you answer that, what kind of music do you want it to make? Because you can head that way, starting today. Would it be in tune or off key? If the music that your marriage is producing these days is off key, what do you do when an instrument's off key? What do? Tune it? This is deep, isn't it? And what are we here for? Do some tuning. Amen. This isn't a concert. This is a class. Amen. Whatever needs attention, let's give it attention. Is your marriage is an imperfect pitch or just noise? I just wonder if God listens in on some of our marriages, if that's not just all he hears, noise. It's time to get that noise in tune with each other and make a melody in the ear of God that he would like it to. Amen? Simple. Simple in concept. Not so simple to do sometimes, but possible because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's up to you. We need to pray together again like we started. Like we started. And preach your head, you pray together with your spouse, if your spouse is here. We have a lot of couples here. And well, I tell you what, now that you've heard four messages, and everybody's heard four, it'd be a good time. Kneel together. Take a few minutes, as many minutes as you need. And pray. And then we'll be done. Preacher, you come. Susan, you come.
Instruments before the concert are tuning up, and every instrument was playing its own separate tune and sounded like a racket. Everybody's doing their own thing, nothing's in time, nobody's, it's not, there's nothing beautiful about it, but as soon as, the conductor did the, and then, that's music, that's beauty. And as long as every one of you doing your own thing and not trying, as the message just made it so clear, trying to make your heirs together the grace of life. Turn that into a melody. Turn that into something beautiful that would please the Lord. I mean, this has been wonderful. I don't know about you. This has been wonderful. It's been practical and it's been deep. It's going to take you a few days to digest it. And I hope you won't close the book and put your notes away when you go home. Go and look it up again and look over the stuff together again. Now, when we started the conference, what I had in mind, and Margaret and I had talked about it, is that I was hoping I could start the conference by the couples praying together. And I probably just didn't explain it right. But I saw, as we bowed in prayer that Friday night, some just individually, you praying, her praying, so on and so forth. But what I was hoping for is that you would actually pray together with your wife. Pray out loud together. Pray for one another. And I think that is a great way for us to end this. If we could just take a few minutes. If you need to spread out a little bit, go ahead and do that.
Amen.
But why don't we, if you want to kneel down right where you are, why don't you pray together with your wife, for your wife, pray for your husband. And let's just take a few minutes like that. For some of you, it might be the first time you've ever done it. And it's a good habit to be, just to have established in your marriage. It'll help you so much. All right, so could we do that? We'll just take some time. And I don't know how much time we'll take. It won't be long, but when it seems like we're all done, I'll just close in prayer. But as you kneel there with your wife, why don't you pray for one another? And I would also say this, maybe if there have been some things already that the Lord has convicted you about in your marriage, then maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea for you just to, if there's something you need to say to your wife or to your husband, to thank them or to apologize or to ask forgiveness for something or whatever that might be. This is a good time right now to put into practice some of the things that you heard over the last 2 days. And God bless you as you pray. All right.